Bonjour, bom dia, buenos dias. There is a translation into Portuguese available. This is an important information. And let's start our technical session, A Culture of Social Protection at All Levels, which continues the discussion on the stream on making the right to social protection a reality for all. My name is Helmut Schwarzer. I'm the Social Security Specialist for the ILO in Mexico and Central America. I'm based in Mexico City, and many thanks to our colleagues from Geneva who have given me the honor and pleasure. Vicky has organized this panel to be the moderator of this session. Our topic is very relevant. Since the beginning of the 20th century, social protection systems have developed an impressive pace around the world. The World Social Protection Report shows the increase in the number of countries, the increase in the number of regimes, the legislation that has been created. Most countries have placed social protection systems in national legislation since the beginning of the last century. And this marks a generalized concern of societies to protect the citizens. However, having legislation is not enough. We know that. The result is that still 55% of the world population has no access to benefits when needed, and in the same global social protection report there is another figure: 71% of the population has not access to an encompassing complete social protection system in the world. There is a new, let's say, not that new, but I think a new element which has to be added to the equation, that means the development of a culture of social protection. It is not, so one of the barriers for access to social security is the lack of information. So many countries started developing programs to disseminate information on how to affiliate to social protection, but that's not, that's the first step. Another step is to develop a culture of social protection, and this is this development, how to overcome the first barrier, which is the barrier of information, but also the barrier of the participation of the citizen in the system, is one of the key issues which we are going to deal here in this panel. Experience shows, so when we look at the figures of the World Social Protection Report, those countries that have strongly expanded coverage over the last decades, and some of them have even universalized social protection, at least in certain branches, for certain benefits. Experience shows that these countries have also made strong efforts to consolidate, to develop a culture of social security, a culture of social protection. And it covers not only the affiliates, that means, that culture doesn't refer only to the affiliates of the direct affiliates of the system, but to a whole group of social actors, including policymakers, of course, employers, workers, but the whole population, the population as a whole, public servants, there are many important actors. So we are going to discuss how to create such a culture of social protection here in this panel, how to raise awareness, how to frame the communication with society and with the affiliates, the beneficiaries, the contributors, the employers, how to introduce the topic in the educational processes which need to be completed, and hence how to create trust in the system, how to create compliance. So here we have representatives from different sectors of society in this very strong panel. I'm really delighted to have a variety of actors here, of well-known and also of good friends, which are here present. And I start by thanking to my panel colleagues for their time and for the availability for that important discussion. It is important to have this representativity in the world and of different countries in the world and of different sectors, social sectors as well, different actors, because creating a culture of social security also depends very much on the specific context of each country. So the strategy needs to be tailored for each country. So there may be general principles, or there may be good practices, but the good practices need to be then adapted to the respective national context. So I would like to welcome to this panel Monsieur Dominique Libault. Thank you very much, Monsieur Dominique Libault. He is director of the École Nationale Supérieure de la Sécurité Sociale of France. This is a training institution of the French Social Security. Previously, he has also been director at the French Social Security System. Is a partner of the ILO. Many thanks for all your contributions so far. On my left side is Eduardo Mendes. He is director in the training center of the Banco de Previsión Social in Uruguay. Good old friend. We had a number of discussions about education and social security, and he is the one who taught me that a culture of social security is something which goes beyond only a, let's say, an information program. Information program is the first step, but developing a culture requires additional steps. And Uruguay has done a very good job on that. I congratulate Eduardo Mendes. He's one of the persons involved in that effort in Uruguay. We also welcome Madame Mireille Chatterjee, director at SEWA, the Self-Employed Women's Association in India. We have already heard about SEWA and the efforts to extend social security in India in previous panels. So delighted to have you here. Many thanks. Moises Komisch, here at my right, is director at the National Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Action of Mozambique. Bem-vindo. I see Painel. He is Director of Social Action and the Ministry of Social Action of Mozambique. The Gender, Children and Social Action of Mozambique has been developing campaigns regarding the extension of social security and the creation of a culture of social security, and would like to listen from him about his experience. Then, personal pleasure and surprise to meet Malika Ok from Cambodia. She is there on the left, from your side on the right. Malika is ILO officer in Cambodia, and we worked together almost 10 years ago on a project to strengthen social security in Cambodia. She continues there. I moved back to Geneva and then to Mexico. So it's a pleasure to meet her again, and one of her key tasks at the moment is the design and implementation of a communication strategy in support of the National Social Security Fund in Cambodia. And last but not least, Monsieur Mathias Savignac, merci beaucoup d'être...
Thank you very much for being here.
...president of the Education and Solidarity Network. Mathias is also vice president of the French Mutual Association that manages social protection for the staff of the education sector. So he has multiple, I would say from my Mexican background, multiple sombreros, which are very complementary, because he both has experience in terms of social security and also comes from the educational system in France. So the relationship with teachers and the vision out of the role of including social security in the educational process. Well, I took too much time with this preliminary explanations. We are going to move to a couple of questions, two questions to each of the panelists. The panelists said that they want me to do the two questions in a row, so we will not have two rounds, but two questions to each panelist, and then afterwards open the word to the floor for a couple of questions. We need to finish by noon, by 12. So I would like to start with Monsieur Dominique Libault. Many thanks for being here. I would like to ask you, Monsieur Libault, from your perspective, in your work, in your different jobs, or in the different projects you have been involved in recent years, you have always put a strong accent, you have given importance to the communication with the younger generations on social protection. France has implemented a number of important successful initiatives, and one of them is the platform Sécu Jeune, where you had an important role as well, and activities around the 70th anniversary of the French Social Security. Can you please talk us about these initiatives and the role of the communication with the younger generations on social security and any lessons learned? We need to reduce the time or to keep the time around 3 to 4 minutes for each answer, please. Monsieur Libault.
Bonjour à tous.
Good morning. Thank you very much to your introduction. I am very honored to be here and here with the other panelists, because I think it is our diversity which will make this roundtable rich. And I can share my conviction and my experience, but it does have to be considered through the lens of France and the particularities of France. Now, as head of the school which I lead, we are in constant contact with foreign, notably African social security organizations, and we have spoken a lot about these topics with our African partners, but I might speak about that later. So my first conviction is that we face major challenges, particularly in developed countries, in aging countries, regarding social security. So these are challenges regarding sustainability. But we can only rise to the challenges which we face if we have people that are actually part of this system. And this can only be done with trust and through education on social security. And this has to be done regardless of the level of social security. So first of all, we need to develop the trust in a system. There needs to be an understanding that there is a duty to contribute to the system. So why are we contributing to this system? We don't often pool our resources. Are we looking at things from a business point of view? Are we looking at this from a country point of view? Is there enough trust? Is there enough solidarity? And then, following on from that stage, we have other issues regarding reforms that need to be undertaken because of the aging population. And this will change the parameters of the social security system, for example, access to healthcare, the retirement age, and each person's behavior. And this will also require us to have a certain type of behavior without which we cannot function without having the culture of social security. This is not a question of substituting rights. This is a question of building something at the heart of societies where the value of people and life as a fundamental element on how we build societies. So we have to understand that it is people that are at the center of social security policies. In France, we respect Simone Veil, who some of you may have heard of, and I was very privileged to work with her. She was the first female president, and she was deported to Auschwitz during the Second World War, and part of her family died in the concentration camps. And I asked Madame Veil to preside over the 60th anniversary of the social security system in France, and she said that it is not through indifference but rather through reaction to the Second World War that we can give proper value to social security. So there is this conviction that we need to create this kind of culture, a culture where you have access to rights. We need to create a culture where you can access these rights. We have to accept that this is a duty that we have, and we also have to understand that we have to behave as consumers of the system, and we also have to behave as if we are partners. Because whilst we're creating these systems based on solidarity and healthcare systems, we need to understand that this is based on solidarity. And yes, we need to involve young people. We have actually a short video that we're going to show you, and this shows some of the work that we have done in France with young people. It's just one of the examples to give you a concrete example of how we are working with young people, because those who we have to be in first contact with are young people.
Un point d'entrée unique, le site d'information sécu-jeune.fr. Des informations sur les droits et démarches des jeunes, des infographies pour décrypter la sécurité sociale, organisation.
We have quizzes, key figures, we have playful tools, we have different games, we have four different games so that you can actually look at the values of the social security system in France. A day with the Sécu, which is a unique event in France, which brings together a number of stakeholders, and there are different workshops, exchanges, and there is advice given. We also have a competition, young people, citizens, and those who offer solidarity. And we have 400 different productions that are carried out by young people, and this involves 4,000 different students. You have to understand how you can fight against isolation, how you can act in solidarity when you are young, and how you can ensure social protection is equal between men and women.
Alors, juste quelques...
So, just to give you a few comments on this, and there I will conclude. So, how does this play out? Well, it's not an easy task because social security can be very technocratic, it can be quite dull. So, you need to speak to young people in a way that makes these subjects fun or interesting, and that is what we are doing in different ways. So, of course, we need to be working with the national education system. What do we do here? We work through competitions. So we actually ask young people to work on the topics that we have just shown you so that they are involved. So they have to think for themselves. We think that is an important element. We also work with the defense industry, the defense ministry, because we are working with the president, Mr. Macron, so that we can convey this message of citizenship, and this is organized by the government. We also have open door events between the professionals of social security and young people, so that those working in social security are not just the management. We are also working with different bodies so that we can understand that it is not just a technocratic issues. This is all a work in progress, but I do think that we have seen young people respond to our work because our work makes our work understandable to them. They start understanding what we do. We also work on the basis of sustainable development and environment and based on the solidarity between generations. What is the world that we are going to leave to our children? That is what we are trying to convey as a message. I know that other countries are doing remarkable things, so I just wanted to give you a few ideas of what we are doing. And I think we need to focus on educating young people so that we can have universal social protection. Thank you.
Much, Mr. Libo. I think that you mentioned one of the key ideas that behind a social security system there is a social contract. There is a big agreement of society. There are values involved, and hence it is extremely important to involve different generations in the creation of that culture of solidarity and social security. Many thanks for presenting this French experience. I would like to give the floor to Eduardo Mendes. Eduardo Mendes, one of the key persons in the development of the Uruguayan program of social security culture. The name in Spanish is Conociendo los Derechos y Obligaciones de la Seguridad Social, Know Your Social Security Rights and Obligations. And the program has developed very interesting tools for getting children in and adolescents interested on social security. Uruguay today is in Latin America a reference in terms of social security education programs. I would like to give you the floor then for 5 minutes to talk about this Uruguayan experience and the impact which you have observed in Uruguay, please.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning. It is a great pleasure and honor for me to be here to share the experience in Uruguay regarding education, but also creating this culture of social security. I would also like to thank the ILO's Department on Social Protection for inviting me here. As you all know, Uruguay is a small country. There are around 300 million inhabitants. And one of the characteristics of the country is that we have an old tradition of social security. In fact, the system was created before our independence. In 1943, we had a social security in all the different branches of work. Nonetheless, by 2007, we had come to the conclusion that despite the fact that we had a large amount of coverage, we really needed to launch a national program on social security. Now, we call it an educational program and a program for creating this culture. But it started out more modestly. We started out thinking we needed work in schools. And this idea of starting our work in schools stemmed from one of the analyses that we made following the crisis that our country went through in 2002. In 2002, our country went through a huge crisis where poverty reached 40%. The levels of poverty were at double digit, and this is not what we see now. But what we saw was that when we were working and adopting measures for social protection for the most vulnerable and outside of the cities, we saw that many people did not enjoy these rights because they didn't know about them. So this was something that was very important. And the lack of access to a right which you have was not because they did not have the means to access this right, but because they did not know about it. In 2005, within the National Strategic Plan of our country's department, we decided that we were going to launch an education program. And now this education program has evolved, and it has become a program for creating the culture of social security. And that is because that the purpose of the program itself has changed. At the outset, the purpose was to ensure that our citizens knew about their rights and obligations. But now, not only do we have this objective, but we want people to become independent so that they are capable of thinking themselves about what social protection is and how social protection impacts them in their day-to-day lives. Now, I know that I don't have much time. I seem to have just 1 minute. So I will be brief. We have started this program throughout formal education, and this is all about appropriating an ownership of this social protection. And so we are educating people on social security, both in the formal and informal education system. So we are starting from the age of 4 up until their adult age. So this is a part of the curriculum, and it is compulsory. We have also been working with the national education system. 5 manuals which are available online. These are the manuals, and you can find them online on the relevant webpage. And these are manuals that cover all the age ranging from 4 to adulthood. And then you can see what areas need to be worked on at each age. Now, these were not developed only by the technical experts in social security. We actually worked with teachers who were in the classroom as well. So we worked with teachers that are known in their profession. Currently, we have now distributed 1.7 million manuals since the beginning of this program. I think I've run out of time. So I've been allowed two final comments. So this is one of the components of the culture of Social Security, because as was being said by my friend Helmut, this culture of Social Security is built from many different dimensions and for society as a whole, not only for those who are in the education system or not only for those who are the beneficiaries of it. In a country where we have a high level of digitalization and where every child can actually access these manuals online, why are we making them available in paper format? Well, that is because we want to ensure access. And that means that each of these manuals belongs to one person. They can write their name on it and they can take it home. So what's the impact of this is that we also have a lot of dissemination, awareness-raising campaigns. And this is a campaign that has been around for 12 years. I don't want to take time away from my colleagues, but I do just want to say that what we have seen regarding the knowledge that we have acquired on Social Security in our country is that 95% of our population knows what the main obligations they have and contributions that they have. And what we are going to do is continue to work so that we can build this idea that this is a fundamental right, and that is Social Security. This has to be internalized by every citizen in Uruguay. And that's where I will conclude. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Eduardo.
Eduardo, just for you to have an idea of the figures, of the numbers, Uruguay has 3.5 million inhabitants. A little bit less than 3.5 million. Sometimes they call themselves the paisito, yes. The little country, because they have big neighbors, Argentina and Brazil. But even being a paisito, a small country, small country, paisito is a small country, they have done a great job in terms of extension of Social Security, and Uruguay is currently the leader in terms of coverage rates in Latin America. He mentioned 1.7 million figure, 1.7 million of those books distributed, and 1.7 million is also the number of affiliates of SEBA. So we can give the floor to Mrs. Mirai Chatterjee, who is the director responsible for Social Security at SEBA in India. And I would like to give you 5 minutes to talk about the importance of awareness-raising programs for the affiliates of SEBA, the role of trade unions or of associations like SEBA, and we also know that in 2014 there was a law which has been discussed at India's parliament regarding self-employed vendors, street vendors in India, and if that is an example of how the development of the culture of Social Security helps also reforming laws, rules that consolidate, extend rights for the citizens. Please.
Microphone, please.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I said from a small country to a big country of 1.7 billion where the informal economy is 95% of the workforce, 94% of the and more of the female workforce. So we are talking about developing a culture of social protection for upwards of 500 million people, most of whom live in poverty and constitute the working poor of our country. Coming to the first question, one of the issues we face as we organize informal women workers is that they simply don't think of themselves as a worker. So if you don't think of yourself as a worker, and if you don't think of yourself as someone who should have some basic rights under the constitution of our country, then you have your work cut out. So the first job that we have as a union and as cooperatives, because SEWA is actually a conglomerate of workers' collectives, membership-based organizations, trade union in the main, national union, but also more than 120 primary women cooperatives. So the first job that we have is to convince our sisters that they're not simply someone's mother or wife or sister, which they are, but they are also an important economic actor powering the Indian economy and our high GDP growth. And the way we do it, or what works best we found, is when some of our union leaders and cooperative leaders themselves develop modules on the culture of social protection and then take these to our sisters. So getting that self-perception as a worker, self-worth, that I am an economic actor and I have some rights and entitlements is the first step. The second point I'd like to make mirrors very much what colleague from Uruguay said, Mr. Mendez, which is that we also suffer from information asymmetry and deficit. The workers, whether they're in unions, cooperatives, or other membership-based organizations, simply don't have the information. Actually, the government of India spends a huge chunk of the national budget on anti-poverty programs, including some social protection programs, more and more. But if you don't know about them, you never heard about them, then how are you ever going to demand for them? And then how are you ever going to get access? So one of the things we've done as a union, in fact, it's our health cooperative which has taken the lead on this, is developing worker facilitation centers, which are information and empowerment hubs, decentralized, run by the women workers themselves, in the neighborhoods where they live and work, in the villages, or at the workplace, like the markets, or wherever they work. So they come to know what is social protection. Of course, they know what they need, but what are the new ideas on social protection, that it's a right, the whole idea of universality and not charity. And just a small example, when we had some sisters from Ethiopia, also informal workers, come to us, they were shocked to see childcare centers. They said, we didn't know daycare was possible for women workers like us. And then they went back and demanded and started up their own. And it's not just Ethiopia, it's also in India. The third point I'd like to make is that not only awareness, this leads to awareness on rights and entitlement and information, but this spurs the workers to act. They are motivated to mobilize and organize much more and demand of the government, of contractors where they exist, and even, and this leads me to the second question, develop their own social protection systems in the absence of these from the state. The second question, which you took up from street vendors, yes, this is a struggle that took us 40 years, but we're proud that finally the Indian Parliament, perhaps one of the first such legislation in the world, in January 2014, passed a law protecting the livelihood of street vendors and also entitling them to social protection. But as far as SEWA is concerned, one of the first things that the vendors brought up was childcare, actually. And since there's not much time, I won't go into details, but working on this together now, with the workers, we are now leading a national campaign on publicly funded full-day childcare. And this emerged directly from the culture of social protection. The other quick example is insurance. Till recently, there was no insurance, protective insurance for informal workers. The demand came from the workers. We went to the policymakers and nationalized insurance companies, and they said, no, 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 we can't insure you. As I said on the first day, you're bad risk. You get sick too much, and you die too much. And so, therefore, we invented our own insurance cooperative. And now, the policymakers are coming and taken the model and scaled it up. So, what we learned from this is it's not just the workers who need to awareness, but it's the policymakers and legislators who need to also have awareness on the culture of social protection and the importance of consultation, participatory process, and that it should be universal and, as our friend said, a culture of solidarity, not of charity. So I think I'll stop here. But the last sentence I want to say is that I think that what's worked for us in spreading the culture of protection is when the workers see themselves the fruits of the culture of protection. When they had their own childcare, when they had their own insurance cooperative, then they say, ah, this is the way to go. Thank you.
Many thanks, Mrs. Mirai Chatterjee, for this very vivid demonstration, this example of how a culture program, social protection culture program developed by trade union, by such a big association, contributes to the self-esteem, to the ownership of the social security program, of the participants regarding their own social security program and their own rights, in fighting for their rights. Social security has never been given as a gift to most of the workers in the world. It has always been the result of mobilization, of first and for mobilization, there needs to be the understanding of the rights and of the needs. And so we wish you success in your campaigns for childcare, for women in India. This is a concern for women elsewhere in the world. In Latin America, it is also a very important concern because many women there struggle with poverty as well, and they need to go to the labor market and they need social protection, because otherwise they cannot overcome those barriers. And you're doing a great job. Many thanks for this testimony. Mr. Moises Komisch, we have already said something about the efforts in Mozambique to develop a campaign regarding social protection. Particularly, there is a social protection week, which is promoted by the ministry. Could you please tell us about who is the key audience in Mozambique for the social protection culture program, and how do you focus, how do you develop this advocacy activities, how do they contribute to the important efforts which are underway in Mozambique to extend social protection?
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to, first of all, thank you for inviting me here today and allowing me to participate in this important event. And I'd also like to thank you for organizing this panel and allowing me to speak in my own language. This follows one of the Sustainable Development Goals. I'd like to share with you that social protection in Mozambique is included in the Constitution of the Republic, and we have a specific law for this particular provision. In 2007, the Council on Social Protection was established and grew, And we set as an objective to develop this and to create communities where we would raise awareness. And we introduced the Week of Social Protection as an event that is created by the Gender and Social Protection Organization through the help of the ILO and many UN agencies like FAO and the World Food Organization and other partners. So we have a national program, and some provinces have a specific program that are being carried out. Since 2012, this event is carried out on an annual basis. And we have the day that is dedicated to eliminating poverty. The week includes 5 components with different activities. The first is devoted to a public debate. We share good practices, and within this component, we have national conferences on social protection. And during these conferences, we discuss issues concerning the elderly, people with disabilities, children. And within these conferences, we come up with a declaration which is turned into a matrix that will include responsibilities and events. So we have biannual conferences, and in the interim periods, we develop these models, these matrices, and services are provided. Now, within this component, we had activities, as I said, including books that are discussed, and there's a discussion on them. We have officials from the different ministries that participate, from Ministry of Health, Social Protection, and other ministries. We have agencies from the United Nations, and political figures, deputies, members of the National Assembly. Another component during this week focuses on decision making. And what does this consist of? We have activities to visits to beneficiaries. We have deputies, parliamentarians who come in and speak so that people are able to be informed about decision making. For example, budgetary matters that are involved. Or we focus on specific laws with different target groups that I mentioned. And in this component, we have activities related to journalism, involving journalists. We try to train journalists to include this component of social protection in different campaigns and electoral campaigns. So we have decision makers, politicians who participate. We have officials from the Ministry of the Economy and Finances, and we have lawmakers. During this week of social protection, we try to disseminate information, and we have activities on training journalists. We have organized different participants from partners and ministers in different ministries about social communication on social protection. That now turning to target audiences, we have journalists and others. And the fourth component deals with services. So our concept on this week has moved forward over time and has evolved. And now we focus on a joint group of services that should be brought to the most needy populations. We're talking about education. We're talking about a package related to health services. We're talking about legal guidance and counseling related to social affairs. So we address these communities in general. Now, another component that is very important during this week deals with awareness raising and outreach. And we try to discuss the issue of social protection throughout the week. Now, we have two main issues. One is the production of documentary films that have come out that we've produced, talking about the life of a beneficiary of one of these programs. And the second documentary, it means on for yourself, for your own account, which talks about workers and their role in the informal economy. Now, so here the target audience is the public at large. Now, we know what the potential that sports may have in rallying people. And so we use this in order to impart information at this time. So sporting events are also used to help create solidarity for a particular cause. For example, during the whole week of events this year, the participants in the different activities participated and brought non-perishable goods to the victims of the cyclone. So what is the impact of this movement as a whole? I think that gradually, with our outreach, people are becoming more aware, and we are speaking to politicians and the general public. And it's been very difficult for the government to give us specific events. We have tried to act for children in different provinces. We've tried to respond to the cyclones that hit our country, and we've tried to raise awareness so that the government would create new interventions. Now, in terms of budget, we've been increasing the amounts, and this is all thanks to this movement. Now, for further details, you can read this in this pamphlet that will be placed at the side of the room.
For showing us another example where many tools, many opportunities have been used to promote knowledge about social security, building an event, having a fixed day, a certain day of the year which marks the topic, which allows you to put the topic on the agenda, the relationship with the means of communication with journalists, relationship with parliamentarians and other authorities, you use those tools, those spaces to promote social security and to enhance understanding and also the resources for social security, the approval of laws which extend coverage of social security. Well, we have still two participants, and we also need to leave space for at least two or three questions from the audience. So please, Malika, the floor is yours to talk about the situation in Cambodia. The National Social Security Fund has been established about a decade ago. It has expanded coverage, but not as fast as everybody would like it. That responds to many reasons. It's not a, let's say, simple issue to interpret, to understand why extension of coverage moves in a speed, in a pace that we actually would expect it to be higher, but. Then there was a diagnostic that a campaign, an effort to promote a culture of social security was needed. Please tell us a little bit about that project, about the focus of this campaign in the case of Cambodia, of this program, and what can we expect from it? 5 minutes.
So first of all, thank you very much for giving me a chance to share Cambodian experience. And as I have been listening for the last 3 days, almost three and a half, from different audience and also this panel, we can see that awareness raising and understanding the rights is very important, because when people do not understand their rights and their entitlement, they has no demand, and then there's nothing happen. So the case of Cambodia is quite similar, because the National Social Security Fund was the first institution, I would say, in our history to launch the first scheme is employment injury in 2008, I mean, about 10 years ago. And as Helmut mentioned, it's about a decade, and our current coverage rate is about 1.5 million of private sector. And there are many reasons why it had been slowly progress in terms of coverage rate, and what is ILO had been done in the past, because we had been there for so many years. So here I would say our law, our first social security law, was passed in 2002, and it's very small coverage in terms of the law. It's only cover those under provision of labor law, which at that time is around 3-4 million labor force. So then there's nothing happened, because, as again, people don't know their rights. They think that social security is a generosity from the government, and our government said that we are not a welfare state. We are not ready to expand that services to the people. Even if it had been mentioned in our constitution, but no one raised about that. Since 10 years ago, the ILO was the first partners to support the government to launch employment injury insurance. And again, they had been working based on their limited experience. It's all the team are very new. They had been struggling or challenging why their scheme had not been growing well as the other countries. So they start to learn from neighboring countries. They start to struggle. And also, you know, because the scheme is compulsory, and when partners told them that, okay, maybe communication is the best approach that you need to consider to inform your participants, to inform your beneficiaries, or especially, you know, the enterprise, even they launch a program with the enterprise with more than 8 employees, while, you know, in Cambodia, there are so many small and medium enterprises which has employee less than that, so they are not covered by law. So then they said, okay, I don't need to promote more, because it's a compulsory scheme. If you don't follow the regulation, you will be penalty. This is their perception in the past. However, because the ILO, we are working not only with them, we are working with employers and trade unions, the workers, to understand their rights. So they are more and more demanding from employers and workers to expand the coverage, even from formal or informal workers. They are also familiar that they have rights to be part of the Social Security. And even they are willing to pay the contribute, but there is no mechanism for them to do so. So again, you know, the more that they understand the rights, and also with the assistance from the ILO and some other partners like GIZ and IFD under the Providing for Health initiative, we were able to launch a second scheme. It's a health insurance in mid-2016. However, again, you know, it's still limited coverage until now, and until mid-2017, before our last national election, when the Prime Minister realized the importance of Social Security rights, and they acknowledged that this is what workers demand and that they need. So the Prime Minister started to encourage people to participate, start to promote National Social Security Fund, start to prioritize Social Security as one of the key agenda in the government. They start to integrate the social protection into the National Strategic Development Plan, and they start to passed the National Social Protection Policy Framework, which the first time ever in Cambodia, to bring, you know, social assistance and social security regulation, and also have a clear institution to implement the services to the workers. Recently, again, with the efforts from the ILO and other partners, we are able to pass the second law, or let's say the new law on social security, that cover the broader population. It's not only those under the labor law, but including those who were excluded from the labor law in the past, such as domestic worker, self-employed, and those under working on the air maritime. And in the next few, just 2 weeks ago, the king had been promulgated the law, and the pension scheme is under discussion between employers and workers, and they expect to launch a pension scheme by the first quarter of next year, I mean in the next few months. So again, the culture of social protection came from experience, came from evidence, came from study, research, challenges that they are facing. And again, you know, the more I truly agree with all panels that the political will is very important, and also awareness raising, because without political will, and even the political will, without understanding or awareness raising, no demanding, no advocacy, it would not happen. So again, for the campaign, a very short time, because then, you know, the ILO have a small project to support the campaign of the National Social Security Fund. First, to again, you know, to change their behavior, to believe that the awareness raising is the most important things that they need to do for their beneficiary, even it is compulsory, even they contribute, even they are government, but they have obligation to deliver good services to the people, to their members, in a good way, in a good quality of service. And then, you know, the more advocacy, when people understand, when the members understand their rights, it also pressure to the fund themselves to improve, or even the health facility to improve the quality of service. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of complaints when people start to understand their rights on Social Security, but they said they don't want to use the service because the quality is so poor, especially at the health facility. So, you know, now, even with the pressure from the Prime Minister, with the pressure from the fund, from workers, employers, so the health facility will have to prepare themselves to deliver the better services to the people. Okay. So again,
thank you.
I believe that the culture of social protection in Cambodia is just a starting point. So a lot of work needs to be done, and also it's a continuous activity or support. And I really happy to hear from Uda guy that you mean the tool had been disseminated in the last 12 years, and for us we just started in the last 6 months. So I hope that this culture will continue and will follow as yours, and our country would be able to achieve as yours. Thank you.
Many thanks, Malika. Sorry. It is a dreadful job to keep the time short for all participants. There are so many interesting things, and I think that you told us about that the development of the culture of social security is a long-term investment. It is we have seen that by Uruguay. That was your final message, but also something which you said at the beginning, which is an important lesson in many countries, is that you also can learn from your neighbor countries. You also can learn by seeing the experiences of other countries, adapting them, improving them to your own culture. Finally, so I would like to give the floor to Monsieur Matthias Savignac. As said during the introduction, you have multiple sombreros. Unfortunately, we don't have multiple minutes, so I give you the floor to talk about the activities of the Education and Solidarity Network, a few sentences about that, because that's also a very interesting experience, and from your own experience as a teacher as well, the importance of introducing social security knowledge and the development of a culture of social security in the educational process.
Okay. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. I have three subjects to cover quickly, just an image and some examples, some concrete examples of solidarity. The image that I want you to see is that in nature, man is a porcupine who's cold. And when he's cold, and when you're cold, you want to get warm. And you get together with someone else. So we have this need to become warm today. And this we see in social protection programs that allow us to organize as we need and to erase what differentiates us, but to live together, to share. And thus, as a human construct, we have social protection measures, but they are fragile. There is always a need, whether they are effective or not, to create these constructs. When we don't benefit from them, we have an almost innate need to work for solidarity and to have confidence in the structures that we create. And in Europe, when we benefit from social protection, we have trust, but we have an inborn need to strengthen our systems of social solidarity. In Europe, for example, we talk about social costs, which involves the idea of looting, expoliation. We talk about deferred wages, so that when we need it, we will have deferred wages, or we'll have a promise to cover those who need it by those who agree to pay into it. So this need for protection, of social protection, means helping those who don't have the protection, just like education. And that is why solidarity and education combines different actors of health, teachers' unions, and others who all work together. That is, the teachers who are in good health are the best way, the best vector to spread information about social protection and social solidarity. So these structures of social solidarity create strong structures. They require ownership, they require collective engagement, and beyond this, they must encourage people to play an active role, to be actors in it and not play a passive role. So in schools, we can include this collective engagement and ownership, etc. So to achieve this, we have a number of projects. Our first project is called Feel Good. That is, through questions that are raised to students, we hope to raise awareness of the different health issues. To become aware of social health determinants and show them how we can ensure that people can play an active role in their health. We try to create intelligent structures so that once people become aware of this, we can create workshops in schools to share these collective mechanisms of social solidarity and to infuse the teaching programs with these ideas of solidarity, collective involvement. Now we have another project that we have in France that we are trying to spread to Latin America as well. We're working with Uruguay and the cooperative in the Federation of Cooperatives in Uruguay that consists of creating within class words economic structures of cooperatives, mutuals, where we have students create structures and they learn what economic structures consist of. And they learn about the principles of solidarity and of empowerment by these young generations. Now, we could go on about the particular characteristics, but I'm going to point out one particularly important element. Social protection is very important, of course, but we must link them to environmental issues today. Environmental health, precautionary principles concerning the planet. And I think, once again, that the school is the ideal spot to address these issues. Today's youth, aged 15 to the age of 18, will be the last that will be able to act to change the environment. And so we consider ourselves privileged to be able to work with them. And we are putting our hope in this young generation.
Matthias Savignac, you see that I have already allowed the extension of this session for 10 minutes. This is no joke, because we have a regular time for the work of our interpreters, and I thank very much to our interpreters for the patience. I will allow for two questions from the audience. There is one, and here is a second one. One question, not a speech, a question, and to one of the persons of the panel. So please, the lady there, and then minister, no? Here.
Merci bien.
Thank you. My name is Madame Soulama from Burkina Faso, and I have been following very closely what Mozambique said on organizing the Social Protection Week. In my country, I also work in a multi-stakeholder network on promoting social protection, and we do this through policy action and with the grassroots. So I have one question. So how is it that the civil society players and those in the informal economy are organized in this Social Protection Week? So how are they involved? Thank you.
Sure. Klaus Kühne from the International Federation of Social Workers. thank you for all this contribution on the panel, interesting and rich. But all the same, I'm not completely satisfied. I think there's one level of the culture of social protection missing. You have on the one side the state, the government, the laws, the concept of social protection flaws, and on the other side you have the population and the beneficiaries. And between the street level, grassroots level, you have social services and health services. And I think it's very important that these services are adequately equipped, that they are accessible, that they are the social service and health service personnel is well trained, and they
somebody off the panel?
And they have decent work condition, otherwise they will not deliver good services. And so my question is, it was not mentioned why this level of social health services.
You're looking to Mr. Eduardo Mendes. Is he the one, or whom do you want to answer?
Specifically, who wants to reply?
Okay, I will leave it for whomever wants to reply. But so, Mr. Comiche, you have one question from Burkina Faso. Quick answer.
Thank you very much for the question. Unfortunately, because there was a lack of time, I couldn't go into the details of the whole process. But actually, civil society organizations are actually involved in every single phase of organizing the civil security week. So when we organize it, we have tents. So everybody in their own tent shows what work they do, and that means that civil society organizations can also show what activities they are carrying out. Thank you.
Thanks for this quick and precise answer, and Mr. Eduardo Mendes is going to take up your question and try to answer it as well in 1 minute, please.
La verdad que
I really appreciate the question, because it's actually an essential component, and that is the training of those who need to work with social security. But I didn't mention this, but within our program there are six different components. One of the components is to strengthen and train the workers that work in the social security system, but not only in their skills, but also in their values. So they don't just need to understand how these benefits can be applied and the laws behind them, but they also need to understand what the very value is of having this social security culture. And so that means they have to be interested in this themselves. So that means the workers in the system of social security need to be involved. So if I have this culture created on the one hand, but then I am not offered a service, then there is a problem. So for us, this is an essential component. And just to make one comment on the figures in our institute, we have 4,300 workers, and over the last 5 years we have given more than 900,000 hours of training for these people.
Muchas gracias, many thanks. It is time for us to close this session. Unfortunately, we could continue here for the whole afternoon. I have three phrases, three sentences as a conclusion of this panel. I hope you agree. The idea here is that building a culture of social protection is a necessary component to design and implement adequate social protection policies. It strengthens sustainability and accountability of the social contract. increases demand for social protection rights to be fulfilled, feeds the need for policy reform, and results in a more robust consensus in favor of social protection, so that it completes a virtual circle. So the culture, the development of the culture of social security. A consensus in favor of social protection, which on its turn nurtures and feeds a stronger culture of social protection. Do you agree? I think that we all agree with this idea of a virtual circle which can be fostered by the development of a culture of social protection. Please, a big applause to our participants. Many thanks again, Vicky, for the organization and the whole team of the Social Protection Department who was behind that. And I wish you a good lunch.